Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Have you ever had moments when all of your plans, your good plans, got horribly interrupted? Anybody that has a baby or has had a baby in your house knows there's moments where you're headed out the door and all of a sudden you have had the absolute most catastrophic blowout you could ever imagine, and you were stopped in your tracks. Everything came to a halt. You now have to clean this mess up. Oh, I know, because I have five sitting on the front row, but nothing can outdo the one that set us up as brand new parents. We only had, I'm not going to say any names, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but we only had one child at the time, and they so set us up for a stopping in our tracks. I recall other times where there was a tsunami warning, and the police were coming through our neighborhood in Maui with on the speaker, get out of your house, get to high ground, get out of your house, in the middle of the night. So my wife and I, we're trying to get our five kids together, and we're trying to frantically throw important documents in the van, and we got to get up. We don't know how long it's going to be. We live only 30 feet above sea level. We're two blocks from the beach. Give him praise. Hey. And we're grabbing things, and we're really nervous and frantic, and you hear the sirens are going off, and here we are with our little ones, and Easton comes. Easton was about five years old. Easton comes out of his room. He doesn't know what he's going on, and we're trying to get him down the hall, and he just all over the floor. Everybody stop. We've got to now deal with this. So we dealt with this. Thank you, Easton, for that tremendous ministry. We get him in the car, get him in his car seat, and there he goes again. Blah. Now it's all over the car. Wow. You ever have those times where it's like you were headed in a certain direction and all of a sudden really frustrating circumstances happened? We were headed up the Alcan. We were moving from Oregon to here. And we were headed up the Alcan, and we had planned on a 7-day drive, stop, camp out. We're kind of camp outdoors people. And we were on our first day, and we had crossed into the border of Canada, which was quite a story all into itself. And we had stopped for a picnic. Oh, it was glorious. The sun was out. And Emmeline, oh, I wasn't going to say anyone's names. Too late. Emmeline walks up to my wife and says, Mom, my head itches. Can you look at my head? And my wife goes over, does this, and goes. She had full infestation of head lice. We're on the road. And just before we had left, we were all sleeping in the same room as we were packing up, reducing, let's all sleep in the same room for about a week. So it dawns on my wife, I better check everyone's head. Oh yeah, all of us are crawling, except for John Davis. He's invincible, so they're scared of him. We all had it. And if you've ever had to deal with head lice before, you either go to war to win or don't even start. So on the road, in camping mode, we went to war. We pulled into Whitehorse to get a hotel. There were no hotel rooms available because Journey was in town. In Whitehorse. That's right. You can't make this stuff up. So So we had, I know I'm spending some time here. I'm just having some fun. I love to have fun. God saved my life, and life is just such an exciting adventure. And so we get into this hotel room. Finally, we found one, and my wife goes to battle against the bug. Shaved every boy's head, shaved mine. Hey! And then she's like, honey, you're going to have to check my hair. And I'm like, what? Yeah, you have to check my hair. What? Okay, I don't see colors very good, and it all looks the same. I don't even know what I'm looking for. My wife got so mad at me because I don't know what to do. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Check my hair! I don't see anything. I know it's in there! You got to pick it out! I don't see anything. Am I looking for sand? What is it? Ah! Hiss. Not Pastor Kimmy. I mean, roadblocks in the middle of the journey, right? We have these times. They make us really frustrated. Sometimes we don't respond right to them. I want to look at somebody in the Bible who faced a roadblock, and it's going to speak to us today. Let's have some fun looking at this. And this is one of the most absolute astounding demonstrations of God's power and God trying to help someone who just needed a clue. And his name was Balaam. And Balaam is not a good guy. He's an evil guy, and we're not celebrating his evil. He brought a lot of evil to Israel, and he was a magician and a soothsayer, and he had a tremendous bent towards greed and money, and for the right price, he would attempt to curse Israel on behalf of the evil king who wanted Israel to be cursed. He's not a good guy, and in the New Testament, whenever you hear his name, it's as a model of an evil person that you don't want to be like. But we find a moment where he's been contracted by the evil king to go curse Israel on the king's behalf. And that's where we're going to pick up this astounding story. And just take a look, because it just kind of reminds us of those things that I just shared with you and things in your life. So take a look at this in Numbers 22. I'm going to start reading in verse 21. You can start the clock in the back. It'll really help me if you would. And I think I left off at 48 minutes. So go ahead and put up a 48-minute clock back there. I'm just kidding. Balaam got up. Why don't you stand with me? We're gonna read together. Let's honor the word by standing. It's something we do in this house just to give honor to God's word. And if you're not able to stand, then just stand up on the inside in honor of the word. Verse 21, Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. Wow. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. This is amazing. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" This is incredible. Balaam answered the donkey, "You've made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." Whoa. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would have certainly killed you by now. But I would have spared her. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. Lord, speak to us from this weird story. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you're taking notes, the name of this sermon is Stop Beating Your Donkey. You ever thought that perhaps God is doing more for you than you can see? Wow, Balaam, beating the donkey, angry, frustrated, lashing out, aggressive towards his faithful animal, and short-sighted, determined. Now, this is not a sermon for you to go build a theology that you need a donkey service animal to help you detect when angels are around to warn you. Just thought I'd throw that out there. For those of you that try to build a theology over like weird stories without taking it into context, don't do that. Okay. Wow, the donkey. Speaking his language, not just talking, but talking Balaam's language and reasoning with him. That is incredible that God could cause this animal to do that. There are stories throughout the Bible of how animals were used by the Lord in various ways. This is not the only time that there was a miraculous event, but an animal speaking. Oh, now that is something. And reasoning with him and having a conversation. You talk, I talk. I ask questions, you answer, and back and forth. Absolutely incredible. A talking donkey. Wow, the angel opposing Balaam and ready to kill him. But the donkey saved his life. And what did the donkey get for saving his life? He got a beating and treated so terrible. What short-sightedness for Balaam. There's times that we must course correct, and God creates scenarios to get our attention if we will get a clue and understand what God is saying and doing. And there are times where, regardless of the circumstance, you must keep moving forward even if the donkey lays down under you. There's another story I want to take a look at. It's very similar in that there needed to be some eyes open to what God was doing so that then we could decide, are we moving forward or are we course correcting here? Take a look at 2 Kings chapter 6. Very quickly, verse 15. The evil king is out to get Elisha and is trying to track him down. And when he finds out where Elisha is, he sends his huge army after him. Not just a couple of hitmen, not just a couple of assassins. Chariots and horses and commanders and battalions after one guy. And he finally found out where he was. And this is where we pick up the story. When the servant of the, verse 15, 2 Kings 6, 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wow, two very similar stories, but God is doing something different in each one of them. We face scenarios. We face frustrating circumstances. Both of these were overwhelming circumstances. What is God saying to us about this is what a change of perspective can bring to frustrating events. When we can grasp and hear and understand what is God doing, it allows us to press through these frustrating events, gives us hope, fills us with faith, even if the action on our part is to change directions or change our attitude or change our mindset. It still fills us with hope. So what is God saying to us? You might want to write some of these down. First of all, we don't want to live opposed to God. You don't want to live as God's enemy. But I thought God loves everyone. God does love everyone. But there are people who have rejected what Jesus did for them, and they live as enemies to God. Not because of anything God had done or failed to do, but because of their personal choice to not receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are living every day as an opponent to God's purposes and plans. They cannot grasp what the Spirit of God is doing. They don't understand what the Spirit of God is saying. They don't understand why we would spend so much money to build a big building, or why we would have a conference, or why we would bring in prophets. It makes no sense to them. It's okay to spend hundreds of millions on a football stadium, but it's not okay to spend $20 million on a church. They don't understand that. It doesn't compute. They're living as enemies of God. They don't understand why there are clearly defined lines in the Bible of genders. It doesn't make sense to them. They can't comprehend it, that there is only male and female, and they don't go back and forth. They can't comprehend that. They're living as enemies to God. We do not want to live as God's enemy. One angel in the Old Testament shows up to go to fight on God's behalf and kills 185,000 soldiers. One angel. I don't want to be God's enemy. And Balaam was. And the angel came on purpose, intentionally, to kill him. Yikes. Time for a course correction. Time for a change. So number one, we don't want to live with God opposing us. I love the text in, is it 1 Peter 5? God gives grace to the humble, but opposes the proud. People proud and prideful, you're God's opponent. People that are humble, God's going to give you favor. I love that. I don't want to be an opponent to God. Secondly, is in what God is saying to us as we look at this crazy story of this donkey, and what it would say to us is, consider it pure joy when things don't go your way. Because it could be God is at work in a way you don't quite understand. Ask yourself some questions. When all of a sudden your donkey goes this way and your donkey goes that way and then it just sat down, ask yourself, what's coming out of me? That's a good question. What came out of Elisha's servant when he was overwhelmed by the circumstance? Fear. What came out of Balaam when he looked at the circumstances and they were overwhelming to him? Anger. Frustration. He beat his donkey again and again. And then if he had a sword, he was going to do what? He's going to kill that donkey. Well, when things don't go our way and our donkey lays down, it's a great moment to say, what exactly is coming out of me over this circumstance? And if you can't see what's coming out of you, just ask the people that are close to you. They can tell you. It's a great time of reflection. It's a great time to check the fruit that's coming out. This is not what I'm planning. I'm planning to go this way. These are my good plans, and the donkey laid down on me. That's a great time. Balaam let out extreme frustration and aggression. The servant was afraid. What is God saying to us? Well, people that specialize in overreacting. This is what Balaam was doing, is fully overreacting to this circumstance. You got to calm down and ask, what is God doing here? Is God doing something that I can't see? Is God at work in a unique way to get my attention? God is a master of creating scenarios that make us stop and see what he's doing, if we will do that. But if we don't do that, we will only be frustrated. And we will live in constant frustration. So to the overreaction specialist, calm down and ask, what is God saying or doing? To people confused, to us that might be confused by frustrating circumstances, we need our eyes open to a better perspective. Just like the person that is overreacting, we need to stop beating the donkey and ask God for a fresh perspective. Position yourself in a way to hear God better, to see and understand what he's doing. That's why this coming weekend is so powerful. I'll tell you what some of the reasons I love the Power Conference. One of the reasons is because I get to hear what the word of the Lord is over the Brackens. When I used to live on Maui, I couldn't wait. I was on staff there for 15 years. I couldn't wait until the Sunday night service when the prophet would come and they would gang up and speak over the Moroccos, because I know whatever they're about to say, I'm going to be a part of walking into, because I'm a part of the house. I'm praying into it, I'm giving into it, I'm serving into it, whatever role I have. It's a moment to hear God's perspective about what's coming. And I love that, because if I don't hear that, I could get really frustrated when I see things happening and I didn't know that's what came out at the Power Conference. Oh, what a relief it is when I've positioned myself to hear what God is saying. And then I see it happening and I go, oh, it's the word of the Lord. I'm all in. And that moment is coming this Sunday night when the prophets that we've invited to come stand around the Brackens and speak over Alaska, over Kings, over them personally. And then when circumstances may come that have the opportunity to derail me, I can remember the word of the Lord that was spoken over the Brackens and know, oh, it's God at work. God's moving us down closer to fulfilling the vision. There's bigger vision on the way. 12-1-20, there'll be a day we look back and go, remember the 12-1-20? Remember how little we were at the 12-1-20? So their frustrating circumstances can confuse us, and we need a better perspective. Either A, we see what God's doing, and it's the chariots of fire and the army of fire, and we plow forward and say, God's on my side. I see what God is doing. or the frustrating, overwhelming circumstance can allow us to see maybe God's trying to course correct some things. And I keep running into roadblocks. When we face those frustrating circumstances, we must be open to changing direction. What did Balaam do? When he saw the angel and he immediately realized, oh my goodness, there's something bigger going on here than just my donkey being obstinate. He sees the angel. What did he do? He fell on the ground in awe and in reverence and understood in a moment, there's a bigger picture here than I understand. What did he do when he heard what the angel said? He repented. Balaam, the evil guy? Just an amazing part of the story. If the angel was sent to kill him, why didn't he kill him on the first time? It's because God is a God of mercy. What an amazing story of God's mercy to Balaam. God delights in mercy. And then even after the third time, the angel didn't kill him. He was sent there to do one job, kill Balaam. But God is a God of mercy. And even though Balaam was on an evil errand, God extended mercy to him. That's amazing. That is an amazing God. What is the width and depth and length and height of God's mercy? We can't comprehend. We must be open to changing directions. We must be open to persevering to the finish line. Two different stories, both with a revelation that there's more happening here than I understand. One, keep going. God's on our side. The other, time to rethink some things. Time to readjust our perspectives. We must get in a position to grasp what God is doing. So to the overreaction specialist, calm down, get a new perspective. To those confused by the frustrating circumstances, get in a position to see, is God telling you to plow through or rethink some things? And then lastly, to the one opposed to God, which would be Balaam, he was God's enemy, repent and ask like Balaam did, I repent. Now what do I do? What would you like for me to do? Total humble before the angel of the Lord. Incredible. I got to go back to Numbers. Numbers 22. Balaam, verse 34. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. What an amazing turn of heart, turn of perspective, and humbling himself, realizing, I'm God's enemy. I need to fix some things. Just wanted to bring this word to you, and as I'm closing, the simple bottom line is this. If you are facing frustrating circumstances, it very well could be God getting your attention for one of these or the other. That there's more on your side than those that are against you. Or your path and your journey and your errand has got you opposed to God's plans and purposes, and it's time to change some things. Now, going back to our stories that I shared, were any of those episodes the Lord orchestrating some things? The giant dirty diaper? Did the Lord cause my daughter to have a giant dirty diaper? Well, that's a good question. Did the Lord cause Easton to throw up all over the floor to slow us down on our way out the door? Those are good questions. You know, God does things, unusual things. The person that's taking forever to order coffee in the coffee line. and they can't decide what they want. Why would you get in line if you don't know what you want? Get out of line. Decide what you want, then get in line. I'm probably the only one that thinks that way. I just let out some transparent issues right there. If you get in line in front of me, please know what you want when it's your turn to order. Hey, what's God doing in your life? Has he got you in something that he's trying to get your attention? Is there more surrounding you than is against you? I want to encourage you. Either way, God is involved in your life. And the circumstances that you're facing could very well be he is moving and his mercy in your life.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.